what it's about. There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
And welcome back to Round 2. It is our Monday evening get-together, a pajama party, if you will. Yeah, I really am in my pajamas. But that's what happens when you work late at night and you have a home studio. I can do that. By the way, just to give you an update on what happened on Friday, I told you I got a call from my daughter's camp where she had been canoeing. My daughter is 10, by the way, day camp. Not too far from here, and they'd been canoeing, the big end of the summer canoe trip, and her canoe got stuck. And so she, my kid being the kid she is, got out of the canoe to push it off of where it was stuck. And she pushed hard and fell backwards and put her hand down to break her fall, and she sliced her hand open on an oyster bed. A really deep gash in her hand, or like on her wrist, I mean on her her palm, and also cut up her left leg pretty good. Wound up having to take her to the emergency room, and all this without insurance, because you might remember the story from a couple of weeks ago when I told you my daughter's insurance company decided that they canceled her December 31st. They only told me in June, when I had sent in a payment, and they didn't send it back to me. They sent me a photocopy of the check and said that it couldn't be credited to her her account, to her premiums, because they couldn't find the right account number. Well, to make a long story short, it's because they canceled her in December. And, yeah, so we're still between insurance companies. So, thankfully, no infection is showing up. We're keeping the wound clean. But no, I haven't taken her back to her primary care physician to have it looked at because it looks fine and because I don't have insurance for her. You know, so if, for those who say, what's the big deal? Everything's fine the way it is. No, it isn't. All right, so we're talking about these town hall meetings and all the lies that are going on out there. And last Wednesday, I happened across a wonderful website, pleasecutthecrap.com. And the owner of the website, the blogger, if you will, is a guy named Milt Shook, who I invited on the show Wednesday night, and I had a wonderful time with him. Well, this morning, I received another email from Milt saying that he has posted part three and the final part to deconstructing the right wing lies on the healthcare bill. And I thought, well, time to have Milt back on again. So I'm thrilled to welcome Milt Shook back to the show. Hey, Milt.
Hey, Nicole Sandler.
Yeah, you know, it's okay. You know, at least you're calling me Nicole because I've been called Michelle Sanders. So, you know, it's all fine.
Oh, Milt. Well, you know, it's, as you know, it's been a long day.
Yes, it has been a long day, and we'll get to that in a second. Milt, I wanted you on the phone while I take this call because Demise from Silver Spring, Maryland, called in right before the end of the last hour, and well, his comment involves you too, so I thought I'd bring him on with us. Is it Demise? Am I saying you're right?
Yeah, you're right, Demise.
Hey, Demise, welcome to Air America. You're on with Nicole and Milt.
How are you? It is first time caller, long time listener. You know, I'm a fan of Air America. Thank you for opportunity, you know.
Oh, well, thank you for listening and for calling. What can we do for you tonight?
Yeah, I know. I just want to talk about this crazy right wing. I know I'm sick and tired. This lie about town hall meeting. They don't know what they're talking about. This Congress, I feel sorry for them, I'm telling you. They don't want to hear the truth. These people, they don't want to hear the truth. You know what I'm saying? These people, they follow the right wing, like Glenn Beck, whatever, Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
This radio, that's why they follow. They don't even hear anything. They don't want to believe anything, Obama's healthcare. They say, if you're 65 years old, you're going to die. That's what they hear all the time.
Well, I know. And what's really sad is these people don't take the time to try to find the truth. They're just believing whatever these wing nuts on the air are telling them. I don't expect anyone to believe everything I say. That's why I put links to websites and to articles I reference and to people who I have on the show so people can then go and look for themselves.
They don't even know Medicare is the government run. They say don't touch it. You know, if you see, if you hear about the South Carolina, the Congress is a Republican. He say, don't listen Glenn Beck. If he comes, turn off the TV. They say boo.
Yeah.
They don't know what, they think they are the leader.
Right? No, it
Glenn
is.
Glenn Beck is the leader. They brainwashed.
Yep. I gotcha. Denise, I thank you for the call. I want you to stay tuned and listen to Milt Shook, because what he has done is taken from various websites all these right-wing lies and taken them apart one by one. So if you ever encounter any of these people, you have the tools for which to, you know, fight back. Not that they're going to ever come at you with any sensible arguments, but, you know, you never know. So thank you for the call, Denise, and I hope you'll stick around and listen as Milt and I go through some of the finer points, some of the more outlandish lies, and some of the ones that might... Milt, are there any that sound even sensible?
Some of them would sound sensible if they weren't absolute lies. I mean, for my favorite of the ones that I put up this morning... because I literally spent all day on this yesterday. I mean, I spent my entire Sunday doing this. My favorite is on page 858. The government will establish a public health fund at a cost of, are you ready for this one? $88.8 billion. And they even make a point of putting that's billions in parentheses. Okay, now... For the average person, that actually sounds like a lot of money, okay? But as I point out on my website, it's basically what we spent last year on healthcare was $2.7 trillion. That's trillion, okay?
Right, with a TR, right.
Right. And also the $88.8 billion is over 10 years, and it's at a graduated pace. So basically the first year is $4.6 billion. And it's, and I broke it down. It's actually 0.0017% of the $2.7 trillion. That's assuming that we don't spend any more this year than we spent last year. That's 0.0017% of the $2.7 trillion we're spending on this. And what it does is it establishes a public health system that we're going to need. We're talking about taking in 47 million people into this system now. All of a sudden, boom, you know, on January 1st, 2013, as many as 47 million people are suddenly going to be insured who haven't been insured before. We're going to have to be prepared for that. And $88.8 billion over the course of 10 years, when we're looking at $27 trillion, is just to complain about that. It's just absurd.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But they're complaining about things that, you know, that there's no reason to complain about. They're coming up with things that are just lies. Now, for Please Cut the Crap, where did you get these lies to deconstruct?
Well, there are two sources. The first part of this, and by the way, I made a page where I compiled all three posts into one page so that everything is in one place. But the first one is what is Alan Kanuba's article, which has been, I mean, it's been just, it's all over the place. I'm still seeing it all over the place. And beautifully, in almost every case, I see the article now where it's posted on a message board or something like that. My article is linked to right after.
Oh, nice.
So
good.
So liberals are finally getting it. Liberals are finally getting, you know, the way to fight these people is not, it's, we have a tendency as liberals to yell at the right-wingers, okay? That's not who we need to convince. I can't tell you how much mail I've gotten in the last week where people are complaining that, you know, I talked to my so-and-so uncle or whatever, and he won't listen to anything that I say. Well, if your uncle is a right-winger, okay, he's not going to listen to anything you say. Anyone who would listen to Glenn Beck about anything, mm-hmm. write him off. There's no mm-hmm. point. You know,
right.
There's no point
right.
in trying to convince that person. I mean, 12 years ago, this is no kidding, Glenn Beck was a top 40 disc jockey in Baltimore. Okay.
Well, you know, I was a disc jockey too those years ago. So.
And there's nothing wrong with
not that.
That
no, any, not but I didn't play top 40. I played good music. So there's the difference.
But see, here's the difference. Okay, here's the difference between you and Glenn Beck, or one of them.
Yes.
There's probably a billion differences. But the main difference, as far as talk radio is concerned, is that, as you just pointed out, you urge people to look it up for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Glenn Beck demagogues, okay, he puts himself out as this expert. He knows everything, and everything that he tells you is absolutely true, and don't you dare look it up. That is what Limbaugh has done for 20 years. I actually used to do an anti-Limbaugh newsletter back in the early 90s. I had to listen to this crap for like 3 hours a day, every single day, just so I could do this newsletter.
Oh,
this
my
was
goodness.
Before the, yeah, this was before the Internet, so it was like it was just
Ooh.
Torture. And actually, in all fairness, back then his show was somewhat entertaining. He actually had some funny stuff on there occasionally. Now he's just, you know, he just bloviates for 3 hours. But, you know, I know where these people are coming from. They're coming from, they found a group of suckers, and they tell them what they should know. In fact, if you listen to what Limbaugh used to say, I don't think he says it too much anymore, but he says, "I am equal time." Do you remember that? I mean, that was like,
because I never really listened to Rush Limbaugh. I couldn't go there.
Well, he used to, I mean, besides being talent on loan by God, which is, aren't we all?
Yeah.
But beyond that, he used to say, you don't need equal time for me because I am equal time. And
really?
The impression he gave all of his listeners, has always given all of his listeners, is that he tells the truth.
Yeah,
everything
well, like,
that he tells,
like Fox News is fair and balanced, right?
Right, right. You have to look anywhere else because Fox News would never tell you a lie. And,
mm-hmm.
and Rush Limbaugh would never tell you a lie. And Sean Hannity would never tell you a lie. Well, you know what? They're lying to everybody. And it's obvious. Like, for instance, getting back to the piece, in the second, besides Alan Kanuba's article, the second article was put out, and it's still up on their website. They haven't taken it down. It's a group called the Liberty Council. And Liberty
right.
Council was started by Jerry Falwell's group. It was started by the Moral Majority some time ago, or some people who are with the Moral Majority anyway. And they're basically, what they did was they pretty much, you know, reprinted something off of some right-winger's blog. And essentially that provided me with the rest of the 1,000 pages, you know, the misinformation, and my favorite, this is my favorite, okay, of all of their all pieces of misinformation.
You know what?
Milt,
hold on.
After,
hold that.
After
because,
the break.
Wait,
yeah.
After the break. That is a great, you know, it's a great cliffhanger here. Milt Shook is with us. He is the man behind PleaseCutTheCrap.com. It is a must-read site for anyone who wants to be informed and be able to intelligently rebut these ridiculous right-wing lies that are being told about the healthcare plan that's under construction, really. All right, Nicole Sandler with Milt coming back on Air America Radio.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
And we are back with Milt Shook of PleaseCutTheCrap.com, just a brilliant website. In addition to the deconstructing the right-wing lies on healthcare, there's a lot of great stuff on there, and we'll get to some of my favorite stuff in a little bit. But Milt, before the break, you were just getting to your favorite one, your favorite of the lies, or of the sources for the lies.
Well, it's kind of a lie.
Okay.
But I think it's a lie. It's hard to call it a lie because it's basically from ignorance. In this Liberty Council memo, they point to section 2201, page 864, and they say the government will mandate the establishment of a National Health Service Corps. And then after that, it says, Section 2201, fulfillment of obligated service requirement. And then section 2201, page 864 to 875, the NHS Corps is a program where doctors perform mandatory health care for 2 years for partial loan repayment. Now, first of all, does that sound really subversive to you? I mean, essentially, we're going to create the theoretically, according to what they say, the program will mandate a way for people who want to become doctors to get money for their education so they can become doctors. That doesn't sound like a bad thing to me.
No, it sounds pretty good. And then they would have to work for so many years in a place where they have a shortage of doctors to pay back the loan. Right.
And here's the catch. The National Health Service Corps was created in 1972. It's existed. It was created with the original Medicare bill. It's not even a new thing.
Unbelievable.
It's been
because these people,
since 1972.
Because they're idiots. Because they don't read and they don't think and they don't look to see what's out there. Milt Shook of PleaseCutTheCrap.com is with us. We got to take a break. We'll be back in a moment on Air America Radio.
A rich old man, she won't have to worry. She'll dress up all.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler. What's wrong
with you? All right, we are back with Milt Shook of the website PleaseCutTheCrap.com, which beautifully deconstructs the right-wing lies about healthcare reform. And Milt, I said the deconstructing of these lies, which you've done in three parts now, and it covers all 1,000-plus pages in H.R. 3200, which is the main bill that three committees in the House marked up. It is wonderful, but you've been at this for a while. The Please Cut the Crap website has been around for quite a while. How long ago did you start this?
Oh, I don't know. I probably started it about 2 years ago. But between working and, you know, traveling and stuff like that, there have been times when there have been large gaps where I haven't posted anything. This has basically been my muse. This is something that is very, very dear to my heart for the same reason that you described on Friday. Millions of people are in deep, deep trouble right now and they don't even realize it. I think what I mentioned on Wednesday was one of the biggest problems that we have in getting our message out is that most people don't get sick. And most people don't realize that they are, I mean, they are literally one illness away from total disaster. I mean, think about this. I mean, think about all of the salmonella cases we've heard about.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the H1N1 flu virus going around. There's even a new strain that they found in Canada that is another type of swine flu that isn't quite the H1N1. I mean, we don't know who has this stuff. And so this idea that our system is based on healthcare as a commodity, as a market-based, you know, product, it's not. I can decide whether or not I want to buy a car. I mean, if I don't want to buy a car, I can move to the center of the city and take the bus everywhere.
Of course. But yeah, okay. Go ahead.
I can't do that with healthcare.
No, you get sick, you need to be hospitalized, you need emergency surgery, you need it, and you have no choice in the matter. And, you know, and the thought of a healthcare bill going through without a public option that requires people get health insurance would mean we, under law, will be required to buy a product from these companies that I believe are crooks. And I'm sure there are relative levels of crookery, but they're all, I'm sorry, healthcare should not be a for-profit enterprise.
Healthcare delivery, I don't have a problem with. I mean, the problem is health insurance, okay, is at cross purposes with healthcare delivery. I mean, I've said this in a couple of articles already. The problem is you've got a healthcare delivery system, which I don't care if they make a profit.
But here's the thing. Doctors should be able to make a fine, handsome living. Yes, they
right.
should. But I think that hospitals should not be profit centers. I think.
But here's the problem, though.
Yes.
Okay. Is that the problem is the healthcare delivery system is trying to make money in a system where 99% of their money comes from insurance. Okay? So they have to, what's happening is they're not making money because they have to make money. They're making money because so many people are not able to pay their bills.
Mm-hmm.
They have to make that money up somewhere.
Right.
Once you reform the insurance system, you're pretty much going to find that the healthcare delivery system is almost fixed. That doesn't mean there aren't going to have to be tweaks. Like, obviously, there are going to have to be limits on drug prices. There are going to have to be limits on the prices for procedures. That's one of the things in this bill. I don't have it handy in front of me at the moment, but one of the things in this bullcrap that the right wing's putting out is they're talking about how there are so many price controls in here. Well, there's no price controls in this. Price controls come later.
Right.
First, we have to get everybody insured. Okay.
Right.
Then we can worry about
but
price controls.
The problem comes, okay, here's the, so, all right, you're saying that if we get insurance taken care of, then the delivery, the profit in the delivery will sort itself out because they won't have to make up for the uninsured people that they have to cover
well,
now.
It'll start to be, yes.
Okay.
I'm not
but
saying it's going to solve the whole problem.
I do agree that the major problem is the for-profit health insurance industry. The other is secondary. The for-profit health insurance industry, think about it. They do nothing. They produce nothing. They don't make us healthier. They don't. All they are there for to do is to create a level of bureaucracy between the patient and the doctor. And what freaks me out is all these people screaming, I don't want the government coming between me and my doctor. And I want to just shake them and say, no, you'd rather have some pencil pusher at an insurance company telling you what procedure you can and can't have, or what they will pay for. And what they won't pay for because it costs too much money. That, to me, is criminal.
Criminal. And that's what I mean by you can't call healthcare, you can't consider healthcare a market-based activity. I mean, I hear a lot of comparisons between health insurance and car insurance. Well, it's totally different. I mean, you are basically, when you have a car, we're voluntarily taking on a risk when you go on the road, and you are basically putting other people at risk by being on the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's understood. The problem with health insurance can't be for profit because the only possible way to create profit in a health insurance industry is to deny coverage. That is the only possible way. And it doesn't make sense.
Right. And when I had, Wendell Potter, thank God for Wendell Potter, and he was on the show last week talking about what he lived for 20 years. He was the chief corporate spokesman for Cigna, and before that for Humana, another major insurance company. And he talked about, the process of rescission, which is, cutting people loose and canceling their policies when they get sick, when they need it most, and not paying off on claims. And, thankfully he saw, he couldn't do it anymore. He just realized how wrong it was, how evil it was, and now he's speaking up. I hope, more and more people listen to him.
Well, if you think about it, that's how all insurance works. The only difference is, with life insurance, if you talk to a life insurance agent, he will tell you the way life insurance companies make money is when people lapse on their policy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why they don't send you a bill. They never send you a bill, and they hope that you won't pay after a couple of years.
Oh, how interesting.
That's their hope. In other words, it's free money.
Right.
Well, in the health insurance field, the problem with that is that, everyone will need health insurance at some
eventually,
point.
Eventually, yes.
Every single person in this country will need health insurance at some point. Okay, the question is, at what point? And there's no way to predict it. It's there. When you listen to the right wing, they talk about, people choose to be fat. People choose to, sit on their butts and do nothing, et cetera. Well, that's not the problem. The problem is, you look at some of the complaints, by the right wing in my articles. I mean, some of the biggest complaints are, illegal immigrants, or actually they say illegal aliens.
Right.
I hate that term, but illegal aliens are going to get free health care. Well, you know what? What if they come over and they have, meningitis,
mm-hmm.
and they end up, infecting 20 people, and those 20 people infect 20 more people each? I mean, if you don't give them health care, guess what's going to happen?
The bottom line is we're paying for them now because they go into the emergency
exactly.
room, they're going to get treated. So wouldn't it be better if people had a way to get taken care of when they're sick before it gets to the point where they need emergency medical attention, and then the cost of their care is quadruple what it would have been or tenfold what it would have been?
It's absolutely right. That is why basically health insurance, according to the CBO estimates, will go up $1,800 per year for a family policy for the next 10 years, which means in 10 years, the average family policy will run $30,000. Now,
right.
The average family is making $100,000, who's going to be able to afford that?
Right. And the thing is, who's fighting against this? And I hate to say it, but it's these, me first and damn everybody else. All I care about is me, and I don't care what happens to the guy next door or down the street. That's their problem. I just want to take care of me and screw everybody else. And the other part of it is they are racist, bigoted, hateful people. And what furthermore disgusts me, and that's why I wish I had Frank Schaefer on tonight. I got an email from his publicist that he must have fallen asleep or something. Had a long day today, but we'll try to reschedule for tomorrow. But the biggest hypocrisy I see are all these, the right wing evangelicals who Christianity is supposed to be do unto others, right? Love thy neighbor. Yet they don't practice what they preach. It's do as I say, not as I do. And it's really quite sickening.
It really is. And that's the bottom line. When you listen to the rhetoric from these people, probably the most striking thing you hear And this is from quote-unquote Christians, okay? And by Christians, I am not talking about every single Christian out there. I'm talking about this particular strain of Christian. When you mention the fact that health care is a right, they rankle at it. They basically, no, it's not a right. Well, yes, it is.
It should
and
be a right.
The reason, it's not even should be. The word. It's called the Hippocratic Oath.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk into an emergency room and your arm is hanging off, that doctor has an absolute obligation to put your arm back on.
Yet we've heard the stories. I mean, if you saw Sicko, there's this woman whose daughter was so sick and they wouldn't admit her to the hospital. They made her drive her, 30 miles away, and the little girl wound up dying.
Yep. So, and there are countless stories like that.
That's
I told
right.
you a story about my mom the other day. I mean, it's criminal. It is absolutely criminal. And it's based on this concept that if a company can make profit on it, they're entitled to profit. And I'm sorry. First of all, this bill will not kill private insurance. I wish it would.
I wish it would too.
In a perfect world, I would love for us to just dump private insurance and do single payer. I honestly don't think we can afford it, but this will go a long way.
But the thing is, Milt, if we didn't have to pay these outlandish premiums to the private insurance companies and paid it instead in taxes or an addendum to the tax so that people, you know, on the right who are so, you know, allergic to the word tax won't, you know, keel over and die of a heart attack. If that money we could pay into the system, it would more than cover it because there's 30% off the top that we're not paying for the profit and the overhead of the for-profit insurance companies. You know what I'm saying?
So we could afford it.
The problem
isn't that we can't afford it over like a 10-year period.
Right.
The problem is right now to take the $2.7 trillion that we're spending on healthcare and then suddenly put that entire burden on the government.
Well, that's why the Kucinich Amendment to H.R. 3200 is so perfect because it allows states to do it a state at a time, which is how they got it in Canada, one province at a time. It didn't just happen overnight all at once. And that's why we need to push for the Kucinich Amendment to be in the final bill. Milt Shook is with us from PleaseCutTheCrap.com. We've got to take one more break. I'm enjoying speaking with you. So we'll come back and wrap things up for this Monday night. If you want to get in on it, you can. 866-303-2270. Nicole Sandler and Milt Shook. We'll be right back.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
Spoonful of sugar. All right. We are back with Milt Shook of PleaseCutTheCrap.com here on Air America Radio. I'm Nicole Sandler. And, Milt, I know today has been a really tough day for you, but I hope you don't mind. I want to bring up that your son today left for Afghanistan.
Yes. In fact, he left really early this morning and flew out of Baltimore, Washington International Airport several hours ago. He should be landing in Germany about now. And by tomorrow, he will be over there and fighting for his country. And I'm proud of him and scared all at the same time.
I got to ask, how does the son of a guy who is a good, proud liberal wind up in fighting a war that, I understand he's fighting for his country, but, I shouldn't presume to know your feelings on this war. I think we shouldn't be there, but
I had a little bit of a problem going in there in the first place, but mm-hmm. not nearly as much of a problem as I had with going into Iraq.
Right.
If they had gone in, taken out Al-Qaeda, and you know, gotten out, I'd be okay with it.
Right. We should have been there in the first place. Right.
But they didn't do that. And so now, 7 years later, you know, my son's going over there. And basically, it's the economy. My son is a victim of the economy. He wants to go to college, and the money that they offer him for going over there is pretty phenomenal for a 19-year-old kid. Well, at the time he was 18, for an 18-year-old kid who, you know, wants to go to college and wants to, you know, wants to be able to do it without, you know, bankrupting his father. So it was basically a monetary thing. And, he would rather be deployed than be bored stiff. I mean, which kind of makes sense in an odd way to a 19-year-old. So now I'm just like kicking back and I'm like, please, God, just let him be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all you can do.
But, and do they give you any clue as to how long he'll be over there or how long?
I'll be honest. Yeah, well, he'll be over. As of right now, his orders are for 15 months. But if you look at what's kind of going on over there, I really don't think we're going to be over there much longer than that, if that long.
Really? Because I heard a news report that we're going to be there for 40 years.
Well, I've seen a lot of negative reports about it and that sort of thing. If we try to quote unquote win in Afghanistan, yeah, we'll be there for 40 years. But if what I'm hearing is true, and of course, you know, most of this stuff is top secret, so you don't know.
Right.
But the reason they went into Pakistan was to knock out the Al-Qaeda camps in Pakistan. Once they do that, they will secure the area around Kabul and theoretically anyway, turn it over to Afghan soldiers.
I gotcha. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.